at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday after a win, and we will talk to Boomer Esiason about that and about this week in the NFL in about an hour at 8, and then Gerard Mayo, who I'm sure will be in an excellent mood, will join us at around 9 or so this morning. I also have Bruins tickets to give away, and I will do that at 8:45, so make sure you're listening at 8:45 this morning so you can go see the Boston Bruins, and let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on some of what they said over the weekend. Where do you want to start, Shine? Maybe Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, Greg, let's begin with Aaron Rodgers after the game yesterday. He was asked about this being a moment of darkness for the Jets team. And here is how Rodgers responded.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams, but if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
No, they can't.
There he is. So he started to point the finger at, as he always does, mm-hmm. anybody other than himself, and he was starting with the defense.
Yep.
He's saying we have to score 30. I don't know. I mean, what does he do? Does he end up playing out his deal there? Do they go and get Bill Belichick?
I don't think he's bad. I mean, I don't know. Woody Johnson's a boob, so who the hell knows? But there's just something that Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Patrick Mahomes, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady possess where it is the excuse is irrelevant. The only accepted conclusion is a win.
Yeah.
And I listened, and I've always felt this way. I know he won one more than I have.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of wasted talent, because this guy is he's so unable to accept blame. And we talked about it with Bill and Tom, how they both would always say, it starts with me. It starts with me.
Yeah.
And if you don't have your highest paid, biggest star accepting blame, that rolls downhill.
Well, that's 5 losses in a row for them.
Yep.
This one against the New England Patriots team that I'm sure, Wiggy, you said it a billion times, and I mean literally a billion last week. This was going to be their get-right game.
Yeah.
Who picked the
Pats to win?
Not many.
All looked at it as not, the homecoming not, for the Jets.
Not many. So I just...
But you said it. He's a narcissist. There's no way he walks away when he doesn't think it's him.
Well, it was him. I mean, you want to get really specific, and you look at that 2-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get the playoff,
right?
So they end up not having a chance to get that 2-point conversion. That has them in that football game. That's him.
Yeah.
And there were 4 or 5 times yesterday,
right?
Where he's probably going to blame the offensive coordinator, the play call, or whatever. It's on him, and it's weird. It's like he's dysfunctional. He got his. His binky hasn't helped him the last couple of weeks. It doesn't seem like it's going well for Aaron Rodgers.
At a certain point, if you're getting everything that you want over and over again, you got Sala kicked out. Mm. If you're Robert Sala right now, you are so happy.
I felt so good for him.
So happy for him. But you get him out, you get your best friend on the team.
What about Zach Wilson right now?
Right. But like you're looking at everything.
He's at MILF Manor.
At a certain point, you have to say, no, I'm the problem. It's not all the people around me, because every excuse that I've given and – Woody Johnson has allowed him to do so, and they've gotten rid of people.
But do you think he does that?
No, I think he's going to retire.
But do you think he gets to the point and goes, it was me?
No.
No.
So that's the point. So if he's going to be like, he's going to say, well, it ain't me, and I'm not going to let you guys ruin my legacy by me going out like this. I'm not retiring until we figure this thing out, because he's going to be the laughing stock of the, you know, like his legacy.
He's going to get hurt in the next couple of weeks. He's going to get hurt.
Right. But his legacy is the laughing stock.
Hurt.
Yeah, I would also say, and it's unfortunate, Courtney, because we often talk about why women are single. But doesn't it make perfect sense that Aaron Rodgers is single?
Yes.
Like, what a dink.
Yes.
The power of belief is, you know, is a snowball that can start an avalanche.
Go away, you idiot.
Yes, it can. All right, what's next, Shy?
Well, let's pivot away from that douche and go to another one, maybe. So after the Cowboys game, Trayvon Diggs got pissed at a reporter. Like, the guy had posted a clip of Diggs on Twitter and been like, I don't really know what Diggs was doing on this play. And Diggs came at him after the game. This was the back and forth kind of in the concourse between Diggs and the reporter.
Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Question. Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing then?
He said, talk about these nuts.
Oh, that was classic.
A good D's nuts is unbeatable, really.
Yeah, really is.
That kind of ends the conversation.
Checkmate.
All right.
I think that has been able to stand the test of time.
It has been, Wiggy.
D's nuts.
And it's also, if you want to talk about organizational rot, Jerry Jones, talk about setting the foundation. The owner goes on the radio station, attacks the question instead of the response.
Yeah.
Now you have one of your star players doing the same thing.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, what's next?
Next, let's go to the most exciting moment of the football weekend, which was the Hail Mary from Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown at the end of that pass? Bears game.
Like, was that 65? Over 60 yards?
I think he was at the 35-yard line when he made the pass. So,
okay. Carry the two.
Yeah, so 65 yards. Yep. So here is Jaden Daniels talking with Tracy Wolfson after the game.
A lot of long hours, long days, but I put myself in the position to go out here. But, man, like I said, nothing but God, man.
Well, it looked like your rib was okay with that final pass. But what is it about this Commanders team?
We keep fighting, man. We keep fighting. We got a great locker room, a great brotherhood. Man, nobody else I'd rather go to war with.
That's a memorable one that we'll remember for a long time. Congrats.
Appreciate you.
Unbelievable.
And did you see the video, too, of Tyreek Stevenson? I think Mitch has it on Twitch right now.
Yes.
The Bears defensive back who was taunting the Commanders fans before the play.
When he should have been playing.
During the play. Right before.
His responsibility was Noah Brown.
Yeah, I mean, so basically he's over at the sideline taunting the fans, and the play is going off, and he looks like a jackass.
Yeah,
I mean, I give it a rest.
What are you going to learn as a defense? Blitz, blitz, and blitz. Don't let them throw the Hail Mary. Don't even put them in that position where they have an opportunity. Bring a couple extra guys so where the quarterback has to get it out rather than a stupid three-man rush. And we've seen it with Aaron Rodgers a couple weeks ago. If you allow that guy time back there, there's a chance that the other team might come down with it. But if you put pressure on them, sometimes they can't get it off.
And if we, later on, we don't have time now, but I rip Jim Nantz a lot. What an epic call. Phenomenal. The Jim Nantz Hail Mary call was just so perfect. And then you have idiot Tony Romo then be like, unbelievable. But the Nantz call was spectacular.
All right, what else, Shime?
That'll do it for They Said It this morning, Greg.
Okay. If you want to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. And we are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. Gerard Mayo with us at around 9 this morning. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Patriots take down the Jets 25-22 to get to their second win of the season, this time in front of a home crowd. Drake May went out after completing 3 of 6 passes for 23 yards and rushing for 46 and a touchdown. He is in concussion protocol at the moment on a helmet-to-helmet that was not called. Gerard Mayo talked about seeing Drake at halftime. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I walked in at halftime and saw him, and you know, the competitor that he is, obviously he wanted to go back out there and play, but there's a protocol that he has to go through, and again, can't wait to get him back.
He looked good, though, before he got hurt.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but it seems like the consensus among you experts is that you have seen enough of Drake May to determine that he is going to be a really good quarterback in this league.
And I've seen enough of him that if you would have played him at before week one,
you'd be undefeated.
No, but you'd be competing. Yeah. You would say they wouldn't be sitting here at 4-4 with Drake May as your starting quarterback after watching him play in these past couple of games would just be ridiculous on the person's part. Going, no, they wouldn't be where they wouldn't be a playoff contender
with pretty easy games on the schedule coming up.
Yeah, rather than now we're sitting here your throwaway season.
Right.
Well, we'll be able to talk to Gerard about that, about all of his receivers just dropping balls left, right, and center during the 9 o'clock hour this morning. Monday Night Football.
It seems like whoever is the most vocal during the week about how great they are, how great their hands are, about how they deserve more balls thrown in their direction, ends up having the worst game. Yesterday was Kendrick Bourne.
Awful.
Who was very vocal this week.
That Tyquan Thornton pet drop was
he's just horrible anyway.
Atrocious.
At no point in my life watching the NFL have the receivers been more talented on every team except the Patriots. Like, you see catches every week that are incredible.
But they're basic. Like, the Keyshawn Booty coming across the middle drop is like, those are basic routine catches that you got to make. Your best pass catcher on the team is Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football, we'll see the Giants taking on the Steelers. Kickoff is at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. Shime, if you could make me some type of bet to place tonight. I've got some cash that I would like to spend on this game. The Celtics got a win on Saturday over the Pistons. They're back home tonight to take on the Bucks, 7:30 tip, and the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs in overtime on Saturday. They have the Flyers at home tomorrow night. During that game, I was at Aria, thanks to Massimo, and thank you to Greg Hill, who got me, Santo, and my parents in to celebrate my birthday. We did the old let Massimo pick whatever he wants to serve us.
What did he give you?
Oh, we had the meatballs. We had that burrata with the peaches and the honey truffle.
Very good.
Or the truffle honey. Yeah. Unbelievable that. We had the penne alla vodka. The veal chop. My dad really wanted that. They said it was incredible. I'm not a veal chop guy, but
it's good to see you guys getting out of the Southie and the
Seaport. We get out of there, and again, you haven't stepped into Aria.
I'm always over in the North End. And I was just at the Banks, which is another place completely separate on
Was Bay. It your first time there?
Is that Back Bay?
Yeah. I think so.
It's right next to Grill 23.
Yeah.
A lot of places over there. So I like
Was that your first time at the Banks?
First time.
I've been there before. So
I like to spread my wings and fly.
So do we. The Dodgers are up 2 games on the Yankees in the World Series. The game returns to the Bronx tonight. First pitch at 8:08. Walker Buehler set to take the mound for the Dodgers, taking on Clark Schmidt. Shohei Ohtani expected to make his return after suffering a shoulder injury on Saturday in Game 2. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 35 in Boston, but it feels like 32. Brisk out there. Afternoon high of just 51, but good news, Halloween could be 80 degrees while you're walking with the kids.
That is Jacoby Brissett. Nobody believed in him. You people, you media people, you didn't believe in me. And so he goes out there.
You
and
suck.
I'm happy for him.
You can be happy for someone.
No, I know, but I didn't listen to that and think he came across like a douche. I think that if you're Jacoby Brissett, you've been a backup for your whole career. Everybody, you know, says that over and over again. And to go out there when Drake goes down and not give away the game when everybody thought that you would, I'm happy for him.
Well, you're an empath.
I understand that. I am an empath.
I just don't. It's not necessary. Nobody believed in me. He's calling the media out or whoever it is. I mean, we saw what we saw from you, and it wasn't that impressive.
I hate when dudes bitch. Like, you had an opportunity to be the starter of this team and do well and maybe statistically put yourself in a position where fans would go, okay, Brissett is doing a really good job.
Yeah.
But you had an opportunity and you did nothing with it. Like, when you get an opportunity and you don't do nothing with it, like, stop complaining. I could see if you didn't get an opportunity and you were feeling a certain way. But when we've seen you have an opportunity over and over and over as a starting quarterback, like, literally stop complaining. There are plenty of guys that come through the NFL and don't get a real opportunity. If you're Jacoby Brissett, you should be looking at and go, hey, I got an opportunity. I did nothing with it.
Yeah.
And if I get a chance to go back out there, let me just be grateful that I have another opportunity to get another kick at the can.
And why do you think he's making $8 million? I'll tell you, because a lot of that is the nice guy fee, because they wanted a guy that was going to be here that would be okay with a rookie supplanting him at some point during the season. If Jacoby Brissett gets up yesterday and he says, you know what, I'm just so grateful that I had an opportunity to take the team and not let them down again because I was so sick about how the season started. It was great to be able to come in. I hope Drake's okay.
Yeah.
But it was so awesome to be able to get on that field and lead this team to a win.
Yeah. Go out there like Jameis Winston. Say something like Jameis Winston after the game.
Cry a little.
You know, and talk about how I got a shot.
He did orchestrate a legit two-minute drill there to end that football game. And Patriots have a win, and we will talk to Gerard Mayo about that coming up at 9. It was I was so bothered by the first series, the first Patriots series, because I was thinking it was it was going to be an Alex Van Pelt special. Again, they came out, ran the ball twice, not a gain at all, and then he had another long throw on third down. I don't understand why that is the go-to for Alex Van Pelt, but they turn it around a little bit and win a big football game.
I liked the pass to Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, that was a great play.
That was a good play.
Yeah, that was a great play. I mean, the punt return, I think, was huge.
That was big. That was massive.
Momentum-wise.
Yep.
And so
they're just their offense is just –
right,
so bad.
And the Jets kicker, what'd he miss? Extra point and a field goal, so that was a major play.
Did you see Jeff Ulbrich, the interim coach, was asked if he regretted sticking with him? He was like, no, I don't. The Jets are – I mean, listen, when Drake May went out, I don't know what the lines jumped to, but there's not a soul in America that thought the Patriots were going to win that game.
No.
And that they did after – I mean, it's hard to get more crap slung your way than the Patriots have the last 3 weeks. I mean, and they should have been. They played awful. But to end Aaron Rodgers' big season back with the Jets officially was just so satisfying. I felt I felt good for Brissett. I thought he almost got destroyed by the receivers. I mean, they were dropping passes for him too.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the second they ruled accurately that the Patriot was short of the goal line, I thought there was no shot they were going to get that in the end zone.
This is Joe from Randolph on a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. What's up, Joe?
Yes, hi. Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Like everyone else, I think Jacoby Brissett deserves a tip of the cap and a salute for yesterday's performance. And I think, simply stated, Jacoby just refused to lose. What do you think?
Agreed.
Let's go UMass.
That's great.
Give him some credit. Give him some credit for coming in, having a solid game. But you don't have to go like that route of like, you know, bitching and complaining about nobody believed in me.
Bitching and complaining. Yeah, it was the definition of bitching. Made one comment.
It was like Aaron Rodgers.
No, Wiggy.
He was bitching and complaining.
He was not like Aaron Rodgers at all. And
no,
I think that it's nice.
And
I think it's nice for all of us to sit here and say, yeah, he should have gone up and say, you know, he was sad. He was heartbroken about how the season started, and he was happy to get to not let this one get away from him. But if you're put in that situation, then you're going to take your victory lap and.
But it's not a victory lap.
It was a bit of a victory
lap
for
him. You had the first five weeks of the season.
I know, and he sucked.
And
the offense is barely recognizable. The one Drake May executed was nothing like the one Jacoby Brissett was. If you have eyes, you knew the Patriots made the right decision.
That's not what we're arguing right now. We're arguing about he secured that win. He kept the guys in line for that game. Don't worry about the beginning of the season. If he's being asked a question about if you felt like it was redemption, he said, no, not redemption, but nobody believed in me, and I went out there. When Drake went out, we're going to get crushed in this game.
But the it's not factual. Like, they did believe in him for 5 weeks.
Too long.
They did believe in him.
Failing every midterm, and then you pass a pop-up quiz, and you're going, you know what? Yeah, I feel great about myself. No, you still got an F in the class.
Right.
I hate, as a player who came up in the way of like really scrapping and clawing to get an opportunity, I hate to see guys when they have an opportunity and do nothing with it and then have a brief moment where he played well and did well, then all of a sudden want to sit there and be like, oh, nobody believed in me? Stop it.
Yeah.
And the other thing also is other people can celebrate you without behaving in that way. Like, we're not ripping. If Jacoby Brissett doesn't say that,
no.
All we're saying today is what a gutsy win.
Yeah,
Brissett
good job
came
by
in, did a good job. He's getting praised.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I will say that it seems like, and we went back and forth on it for a long time, that maybe calling this football team soft was the exact right thing for Gerard Mayo to do.
I mean, pretty clearly, the old coach doesn't have the feel of the team, which is why he's not here. And Christian Gonzalez saying after the game that he felt it as a personal challenge, not as an insult, that the coach that was all of a sudden defending the players didn't feel they needed to be defended in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really going in the Bill versus Mayo direction. I knew you would, but
that's kind of the takeaway. That's all you talked about last week.
I'm not trying to start an argument with you. I was just talking about Gerard Mayo, who is the current coach of this football team. I feel like we questioned whether that was the right thing to do or not, and he certainly, it appears, it was the right thing to do.
Right, but every conversation cited.
It wasn't every conversation because Bill hadn't spoken yet. We talked a lot about it on the show Monday after he said it.
Right.
We talked with him about it before Bill had even said it.
No, I know. And last Monday we were talking about how big of a mistake the Patriots may have made.
Some people were saying, was it a mistake or was it a good thing for him to speak out and say it?
Okay. My take on the contract.
I know what your take is. Your take is right to Bill Belichick. I appreciate that.
No, I think.
I was just pointing out that the discussion wasn't started as a Bill discussion. But okay. I'm glad you brought it there.
Okay. I think you don't seem to be glad I brought it there. Let me finish a sentence.
I'm delighted by it.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I just think every context of conversation.
Everything is about Bill. We should play a game where you can bring everything back to Bill Belichick.
It's okay you were wrong. I mean, I'm wrong all the time.
What was I wrong about?
You think that Gerard Mayo lost his team. You thought that last week.
When did I say that?
On this show. I mean, I don't know the exact verbiage that you used, but it was basically like, is there any way they can get out of this? Is he going to survive? What are they going to do?
Wiggy said it. I think you said it.
When we talk about this organization, where they are, and what the coach says, rightfully, people go back and see how it was, because for a generation, it was one way. So we talked about how creating the noise, all the things that he said at once, and then he cleaned it up. These are all mistakes being
made
by
Gerard Mayo. Didn't you say on Friday that you thought Gerard Mayo was done?
On Friday?
Yes.
Of last week?
Yes.
I said that there was a chance that he doesn't survive the season. Definitely.
Yes.
Or no, that he doesn't come back next season.
Yes. So I think it's a weird flex to be taking a victory lap on behalf of Bill Belichick. I was just pointing out, I didn't feel that wasn't the direction of the discussion. I'm glad you do it. It wasn't the direction I was going
Okay, yet. We'll go in the direction you wanted. What did you want to say about it?
I already said what I said. I think those who were questioning whether it was the right thing to do may have been wrong about it.
Yeah, I was questioning it. I had said the reason why I questioned it, because, and Courtney and I were talking about this, if he doesn't say it to his team in the locker room before he then goes out and says it to the media, then it comes across like as a player on that team, it's like, well, wait a second.
But he did say it to
the team. He did.
Yeah.
He did. The part that I wish is he then walked back
that,
saying that.
You and like, I are simpatico.
So,
on
like,
that.
If you did say it, there's no need to walk back. And Jonathan Jones last week spoke about it on this station here, said, hey, he was right for calling us out because we.
They all said that. That was Curtis's lead. It seems like it was the right thing to do.
So I don't have an issue.
I wish he had stuck with it. Yeah, we're a soft team.
Yeah.
Don't try to change the verbiage of it. Like, the guys bought in once he said that.
Right.
Clearly said it to them in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So who cares if people are questioning whether or not you should say it?
Right.
If you know your team as well as you do, then you shouldn't have to walk anything back.
Yeah, I think I was wrong about how the team was perceiving it because the performance on the field was so bad. And Courtney's right. What we spent most of our time after Monday was the cleaning up comments, going back to the burning of the cash, to the team is soft, to whatever the organization had said about things where it seemed like Mayo was always sort of cleaning up comments he had made on the show or elsewhere. The reason why, to me, it's interesting is that Bill Belichick was offended on behalf of the players. That was what he said on his several podcasts and media hits from McAfee to Lombardi, you name it. And it appears that the leading defensive player that's still here because Judon's gone and, you know, I think Christian Gonzalez is the most talented one, made it clear after the game, a guy that was drafted by Bill Belichick, a guy that, you know, calls him one of the great coaches of all time, as he is, said that it didn't resonate in the way that I and he had said it would. That was interesting to me. And I think yesterday, if they lose that game and it continues, there is a louder drumbeat for Mayo. He lost the locker room. This was a huge week, given the chorus of negativity surrounding how Mayo was communicating with the team, to come out, lose your quarterback, and still win that
but
game.
But the problem is Bill can't win. No matter what it is, if Bill gives his opinion on what's going on here and it's a negative opinion, people are like, oh, they can't stand it.
Are you kidding me? 99% of the people last week were celebrating what Bill Belichick said.
No. But what I'm saying is Bill, all he was saying was it was wrong to call your team out soft publicly.
Right, and he was celebrated for it.
Right, but now I don't, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, all right, so he made a point. What's the big deal? What's the argument?
It's also, that's his opinion. And I think that, right, to Wiggy's point, if he didn't speak about it, we'd all be saying, wow, it's the number one story going on right now, and Bill's going to stay
just
away
like
from
week
it.
Just like week one.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, Bill's not talking. He told Pat McAfee, here's the message. Don't ask me this. Then he talks. So I guess, like, I don't. Like, Bill's doing what Bill's doing.
Wait. So last week we were saying, I think, Courtney, you said, Curtis, you respect this. He's taking a victory lap. You would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking,
what do you mean victory lap? He's given his opinion.
Okay, right. You don't think that he has opinions on teams that he doesn't share?
But he talks about how horrible the Jets were.
Right.
He talks about how bad Buffalo was. When I told you, I watched the Manning cast only to watch Bill.
Right, me
and
too.
He criticizes every team. He criticized who was Buffalo playing when Josh Allen kept getting out of the pocket. I forget who the hell they were playing that game a couple of weeks ago on Monday night. He was completely eviscerating that team.
Was it the Jets? Because I think that was the Josh Allen. Maybe that wasn't.
Yeah, I don't remember. But he was just I guess all I'm saying is Bill's doing what I would guess anybody in the media would be doing.
He's doomed if he does, and he's doomed if he doesn't. That's the bottom line when it comes to Bill Belichick. You either love him or you hate him, and if you're on the side of hating him, you're going to hate when he doesn't speak, and you're going to hate when he does.
Like, the whole Mayo thing, like,
He wasn't doomed at all, though, last week. Nobody was mad at him for it.
But, like, why would people
be
mad at
him? Celebrate him.
Well, right, that's why I'm the 1%.
Yeah, I know, but what are you mad at? I know, but there's no, like, see, my thing is, like, the Mayo thing, I was mad at I was like, people are really thinking Mayo's going to get fired after his first
right
year. That's not happening. And this whole report of Robert at the beginning of the season going,
second thought,
like, yeah. I mean, listen.
In hindsight, how pathetic is that, Greg? Like, you're Robert Kraft. You tell everybody a month ago that you knew this guy was your guy 5 years ago, and now there's a little bit of rough seas, things are going not that great, and you're leaking to people that you had second thoughts about.
Well, you don't know that he was the one that was leaking.
Oh, I'm
that
sorry.
Yes.
It may have been the busboy.
Well, you'd have
know
to believe that. Like, I believe that the bear prices were $8.
Yeah, the internet got you on that one.
Woo, did they get me?
Yeah, they really
it's
did.
It's undefeated.
Yeah, they really did. The internet nailed you on that.
I'm telling you, the internet is like the streets in the ocean, undefeated.
Sometimes you never know. Sometimes there's some things out there on the internet, and you think they're false,
right,
and then suddenly they turn out to be true later on.
I need where are those things, please? Because I can't find them.
Just not get into Jamie Foxx. That almost got
me. No.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Jamie Foxx. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx. He's all over the place. Now he's out with Sexy Red at shows.
I love Sexy Red.
All right. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Gerard Mayo will join us at 9. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. And your thoughts on this Patriots win after Gerard Mayo called this team soft coming up next. Still to come this morning from Gillette Stadium, Boomer Esiason in about 10 minutes or so on a Patriots win. And week 8 in the NFL, and then at 9, Gerard Mayo will be with us this morning here at Gillette Stadium on a Mayo Monday. 1 week from Friday, we will be at the American Heritage Museum in Hudson and partly in Stowe, my home continent, for a Flex Friday in which we will celebrate the centennial birthday of Joe Landry, World War II veteran, greatest generation member, and we will get ready for Lunch with a Hero, which is our annual lunch to honor those who have served this country as we get into Veterans Day and Veterans Day weekend. And so if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, then you can tell us who your hero is, who you want to bring to lunch at the 110 Grill after the broadcast. And I hope, I know Joe is really excited. He just turned 100 last weekend. He is really excited about meeting all of you. So I hope you're all, if you can, you're going to flex that Friday and come out and join us. And we will pay tribute to Joe and the rest of the veterans who will be there that morning at the American Heritage Museum. And then we'll all go to lunch at the 110 Grill and celebrate those who have served this country. So Lunch with a Hero, call now, and we will see you there. You can also go, if you want to nominate somebody online, you can do it on the contest page at WEEI.com, and that's an easy way to bring your hero to lunch and bring your hero to our broadcast. So, and, of course, Wiggy will, that's probably to end the show, get in the tank, and drive the tank. And sick. So as long as we can get you in there, I just don't know that we're going to be able to get you out. this is Bo from Saugus. Hello, Bo.
Hey, boys. Just I think everybody just needs to take a breath. They beat the Jets, which are one of the three most dysfunctional teams in the NFL, with a quarterback who broke contain because the receivers were all covered and ran 17 yards, and the next play he gets concussed. So I don't think the Patriots are on the pathway to the playoffs.
Who said they were?
He's gone, I think.
So Bo thought the Patriots were going to win on Friday? Because I didn't hear anybody picking the Patriots on Friday.
Leading into that game, everybody thought you were one of the three most dysfunctional franchises in the sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an impressive win, given what they were dealing with, no matter the opponent. But it was the Jets, a team that you've hated forever. They hadn't beaten you twice in 1 year since 2000. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett comes in for a concussed Drake May. And in the second half, you outscore Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think it says something about the football team that you didn't lay down in that second half, which a lot of football teams probably would have.
And I was nervous that they were going to, because going into halftime, they just let the clock run out.
Right.
Like they just didn't put together anything.
We can ask him about that. It's weird that that they just. No timeouts called, no nothing there really going into the half. But
I think that means that tells you that we're a little bit concerned with our offense and our quarterback. We don't want to put our team in a bad situation. Whereas if you turn the ball over, going right in a half and give the Jets an opportunity to score, I think they were fine with just playing good defense and making it a failed position type of football game.
But that's a huge story if they lose.
Right.
Because after the game he was asked about it, I didn't think Mayo had a great answer. Mm-hmm. The one thing I thought of is maybe that Brissett and the center, Brown, haven't really played together, right? Because when Brissett was playing, David Andrews was in. They got this guy off the scrap heap a couple weeks ago, but it was still odd to not see any.
It just showed no fight. It was like, it looked to me that they were just going to roll over and die in this one.
Totally.
And then to have them come out the way that they did in the second half was great, but to go into halftime with just nothing. Yeah. If you were there in the stadium to watch that, I'd be like, what the?
But I was so happy for the people. Like, I had a neighbor that was packing up the car yesterday morning. I was driving back from gym, and I saw them load, and I'm like, you know what? I hope they win because it's 9 a.m. on a cold morning, and you guys are driving from Boston to Gillette Stadium to watch this team, so I'm happy the fans finally saw
it. I mean, at least from a perspective of watching it on the small screen, it seemed like most everybody stayed for that football game, second half.
Well, perfect day.
Yeah, it was. This is Tim from Hanover. Hey, Tim, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I just want to say Jacoby, he's a blue-collar worker, man. The guy came there, took care of business. The thing is with him, the games he played, I'm not saying he's the future, don't get me wrong, but the thing is, he played those games, it's the play calling. This play calling was horrible all the earlier games, and then finally they showed that they can break it out. but the team's still not the team that we need. They're far from it. And Rodgers, I called in last week. Go ahead.
He still hangs on to the football for a long period of time.
And if the play calling is better.
He got sacked at one point in the fourth quarter, just sitting there hanging on to the football. Drake May does not seem to do that.
No.
If
the play calling's better, what's that tell you? It tells you they feel more confident in the quarterback that is in there.
Correct.
And that's why you see with Drake May, pocket closes around him. You know, boom, he gets up out of there, uses athletic ability to maybe throw on the run, or we've seen him scramble for a bunch of yards. We've seen him scramble, score a touchdown. You're not getting that with Jacoby Brissett. He doesn't have that ability. That's why he sits in the pocket. And if you feel like the play calling got a little bit better.
No, Drake May, if you need a first down, you got it. 11-yard scramble for a first down yesterday when you needed it.
Right.
I mean, he's, you know, as long as you can keep him somewhat healthy, then he's your guy.
And the offense looks like it's in slow motion with Brissett. Like, it just is totally different. But I love you. I don't think Drake May plays Sunday. I think it's going to be Brissett again. What's the upside of risking another concussion so quick?
Well, I'm not saying that there's an upside in playing Drake. The only upside in playing him is that he just continues to develop and continues to get more live reps that are just going to make him better down the road. If he's healthy to go, I mean, why would you sit him?
He himself thought he was good to go in the second half of that game.
Well,
so
yeah,
I mean,
every player does. I mean,
if you get your bell rung, I think that you clearly are not able to go back in. So if he can have a coherent conversation with Jerod Mayo and say, listen, like, I feel good enough to go in, I think that's different than
a lot of guys get their bell rung all the time and stay in games. We've seen basically Josh Allen get dumped on his head and was out cold, stay in a game. So it's going to be more along the lines, is he feeling any symptoms?
Or Edelman Super Bowl 49. But, yeah, it happens. I would just say, Greg, that you look at the weekend coming up Sunday. Who is it, Javon Baker, whom didn't make curfew?
Wasn't he one of the guys?
Yes.
Nashville Saturday night.
Smashville, great city.
Look out, receiving core.
All right, we got to take a break. We will talk with Boomer Esiason about this Patriots win and the rest of the NFL next.